Wednesday Midday Testimony Meeting. The scriptural selections are from the King James Bible and the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, written by the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. Today's topic is the eternal unfolding of good. Lamentations. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We have drunken our water for money. We labor and have no rest. The crown is fallen from our head. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Psalms. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Proverbs. A faithful ambassador is health. With the well advised is wisdom. Ezekiel. It came to pass in the first month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man. Jeremiah. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine. Isaiah, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it. My people and mine elect are the seed of the blessed of the Lord. 1 Samuel. Elkanah had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli answered, and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli. I called not, my son, lie down again. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. First Samuel chapter 9. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, a mighty man of power, and he had a son whose name was Saul, and a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over every people, over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines." And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold the man whom I spake to thee of." And Samuel said to Saul, "Stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him. "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy, and shalt be turned into another man, for God is with thee." And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And it came to pass that the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of David of Judah. The Book of Esther. King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, and said unto the wise man, "What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to law, because she has not performed the commandment of the king? If it please the king, let there be a royal commandment, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more. And let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she." So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house. Now when the turn of Esther was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, appointed. And Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead. Luke. It came to pass that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin whose name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Then said Mary, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And it came to pass, she brought forth her firstborn son. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Matthew. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Acts. And Saul, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. The promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. He whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. 1 Corinthians. And while one saith, I am, and another saith, I am, of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, it is required that a man be found faithful. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Hebrews. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I shall now read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. One moment of divine consciousness, or the spiritual understanding of life and love, is a foretaste of eternity. Through divine science, spirit, God unites understanding to eternal harmony. Thus the dawn of ideas goes on, forming each successive stage of progress. Spirit God gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts, even as he opens the petals of a holy purpose in order that the purpose may appear. The changing glow and full effulgence of God's infinite ideas, images, mark the periods of progress. Eternal truth is changing the universe. Let there be light is the perpetual demand of truth and love, changing chaos into order and discord into the music of the spheres. Advancing spiritual steps in the teeming universe of mind lead on to spiritual spheres and exalted beings. Spirit is symbolized by strength, presence, and power, and also by holy thoughts winged with love. Spirit diversifies, classifies, and individualizes all thoughts, which are as eternal as the mind conceiving them. But the intelligence, existence, and continuity of all individuality remain in God, who is the divinely creative principle thereof. There is but one God. His personality can only be reflected, not transmitted. God has countless ideas, and they all have one principle and parentage. The only proper symbol of God as person is mind's infinite ideal. What is this ideal? Who shall behold it? This ideal is God's own image, spiritual and infinite. Even eternity can never reveal the whole of God, since there is no limit to infinitude or to its reflection. God gives the lesser idea of himself for a link to the greater. Love gives to the least spiritual idea might, immortality, and goodness, which shines through all as the blossom shines through the bud. The divine principle or spirit comprehends and expresses all, and all must therefore be as perfect as the divine principle is perfect. Nothing is new to spirit, nothing can be novel to eternal mind, the author of all things, who from all eternity knoweth his own ideas. Human capacity is slow to discern and grasp God's creation and the divine power and presence which go with it, demonstrating its spiritual origin. Mortals can never know the infinite until they throw off the old man and reach the spiritual image and likeness. What can fathom infinity? How shall we declare him till, in the language of the apostle, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Whatever it is your duty to do, you can do without harm to yourself. In Christian Science, the first duty is to obey God, to have one mind, and to love another as yourself. And we solemnly promise to watch and pray for that mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. All is good, because mind makes all. There is nothing left to be made by a lower power. Spirit acts through the science of mind, never causing man to till the ground, but making him superior to the soil. Knowledge of this lifts man above the sod, above earth and its environments, to conscious spiritual harmony and eternal being. It is proverbial that Florence Nightingale and other philanthropists engaged in human labors have been able to undergo without seeking fatigues and exposures which ordinary people could not endure. The explanation lies in the support which they derived from the divine law rising above the human. The spiritual demand, quelling the material, supplies energy and endurance, surpassing all other aids, and forestalls the penalty which our beliefs would attach to our best deeds. Let us remember that the eternal law of right, though it can never annul the law which makes sin its own executioner, exempts man from all penalties but those due for wrongdoing. A Christian Scientist occupies the place at this period of which Jesus spoke to his disciples when he said, "Ye are the light of the world." Let us watch, work, and pray that this light be not hid, but radiate and glow into noontide glory. The infinite truth of the Christ cure has come to this age through a still small voice, through silent utterances and divine anointing, which quicken and increase the beneficial effects of Christianity. I long to see the consummation of my hope, namely the student's higher attainments in this line of light. No impossible thing do I ask when urging the claims of Christian Science, but because this teaching is in advance of the age, we should not deny our need of its spiritual unfoldment. Mankind will improve through science and Christianity. The necessity for uplifting the race is farther to the fact that mind can do it, for mind can impart purity instead of impurity, strength instead of weakness, and health instead of disease. Truth is an alterative in the entire system and can make it every whit whole. Christian Science brings to the body the sunlight of truth, which invigorates and purifies. Christian Science acts as an alterative, neutralizing error with truth. It changes the secretions, expels humors, dissolves tumors, relaxes rigid muscles, restores carious bones to soundness. The effect of the science is to stir the human mind to a change of base on which it may yield to the harmony of the divine mind. I have restored what is called the lost substance of lungs, and healthy organizations have been established where disease was organic. Divine love had cast out fear. Neither animal magnetism nor hypnotism enters into the practice of Christian Science, in which truth cannot be reversed, but the reverse of error is true. An improved belief cannot retrograde. When Christ changes a belief of sin or sickness into a better belief, then belief melts into spiritual understanding, and sin, disease, and death disappear. Our statute is spiritual. Our government is divine. This concludes the readings and the recording portion of our meeting.